If I had a choice, I'd choose love over abuse, and I think you would too. And if you are experiencing both, it may not be abusive. It may be controlling or manipulative or just difficult behaviors in a relationship that you care about. Head over to loveandabuse.com for a show about navigating the difficult relationship. That's my other podcast over there, loveandabuse.com. Welcome to The Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hey, this is Paul Coliani, and I'm here to help you learn how to deal with difficult people and tackle life's challenges without compromising who you are. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. Talk about who you are. I have a message that I want to talk about. It was in the Facebook group over at the TOB Empowerment group in Facebook. And this person wrote how they were a people pleaser when they were younger and they would never stick up for themselves as a result. That sounds familiar. That is definitely my past too. And then they grew up and got into an abusive relationship. One day they said enough is enough and they left for good. But years later they say, when I stick up for myself, it's like fight or flight sometimes. I have trouble being assertive without being aggressive. And even when I do well with being assertive, I feel awful afterward. I end up in this sad haze and question myself and replay everything over and over and over and feel guilt and want to retreat. I just can't hole up in my house forever though, but I'm afraid of having to stick up for myself. Will I handle it well? Won't I? I still feel awful either way. How do I become more assertive without being aggressive, and how do I stop feeling guilty for even handling things well? I should celebrate when I do well, right? My brain is fighting me right now. I want to thank the person who wrote that in the Facebook group. And one thing I want to bring right out into the forefront is that you said, I will still feel awful either way. You know what's great about that? I know it sucks, but it's great that no matter what you do, you'll feel awful. So you might as well do what's right for you. How does that all work out if you still feel awful? I know we'll work on that in a second, but think about that. If you're going to feel awful either way, you might as well always do the right thing. What is the right thing? The right thing is what you need to do for you, the healthy decision for you, the most empowering decision for you. At least that's how I view what the right thing is. In fact, I say every now and then in this show, I am here to help you make decisions that are right for you. So that's like the first way to look at this. If it's going to feel like terrible anyway, you might as well do something that is more empowering to you and allows you to continue along a path that you feel good about at a deeper level. Because that's what it is. You feel better about making assertive, healthy, good decisions for yourself at a deeper level, even though when you do it, you run up against your fears, you run up maybe against your fear of confrontation, maybe that's still in there, or maybe you have some doubt, some self-doubt that is lingering around in there, and that's why you feel bad afterward. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons, but you're still fighting some old stuff. So you have some old stuff in there, just like I probably still have some old stuff about my fear of confrontation. I know I do. I have really tackled my fear of confrontation, and I am able to share when somebody or share with somebody that they are crossing the line with me. Hey, you're standing too close. It's making me uncomfortable. Could you please step back? I've learned to become comfortable saying that. But how did I get there? What has happened in my life? What did I think about? How did I think about this? Did I develop a new philosophy? Did I change something? Did I heal something? Probably all of the above. I haven't put this on paper necessarily. I've talked about it in different ways, in different episodes throughout the years. But I think the very first thing I know the very first thing I did was learn about my personal boundaries. My personal boundaries are what I will and won't accept in my life. What are your personal boundaries? And I think it's important to get clear on what you will and won't accept in your life. Just like that example I gave, I was standing in line at a car rental company once. I've told this story before, but it's really quick. And I was filling out some paperwork, and somebody came up right behind me, and I'm a fairly tall person, and his head was basically looking over my right shoulder at the person in front of me, the person behind the counter. And I could feel their body heat. They were just right behind me, that close, and it looked like, probably to the clerk, that I had a second head. That's how close they were. And I looked at him, and I looked back at my paperwork, and I realized, okay, this guy can, first of all, he's too close. It feels uncomfortable. Second of all, he could probably see what I'm writing down, and I didn't like that. And so I told him, I said, hey, would you mind, this is the example I just gave, would you mind stepping back a little bit because you're making me uncomfortable? You're very close. He was oblivious. He looked at me like, huh? What? I mean, I wasn't there in his world. In his reality, I didn't exist, and that's why he stood so close. He wasn't thinking about me. He was just self-absorbed. He was in his own space, and he looked at me, like I said, and gave me that puzzled look, and then he took a step back, and everything was fine. He took a step back, and I was able to fill out my paperwork. He was able to talk to the clerk while I was doing it, and all was well. There was no confrontation. It was uncomfortable saying it. I mean, it was uncomfortable experiencing it, but it was uncomfortable saying, hey, would you mind taking a step back? Even though I felt confident saying it, I was assertive. I was confident in what I was saying. I felt good about saying it because it was the right thing to do. It was a healthy choice for me. And at the same time, I knew there could be a repercussion. So this is where we weigh the repercussions or the consequences of our actions against what we need to do for ourselves. But I believe we should always make the choice that is the most healthy and most empowering for us so that we don't lose our power. That's hard to say together, our power. When we make the right decision for us, when we make a healthy, empowering decision, we get to keep our power. And when we get to keep our power, we get to walk the next day feeling good about ourselves, even though we were scared in the moment, or we had some sort of fear or concern, even though we were afraid of the consequences of making an empowered or an empowering decision. So you can walk forward proudly knowing you did the right thing. You made the right choice. At least that's how I felt. In that moment, I knew I made the right choice. It felt good to me to make that choice, even though I had fear. What's my fear about? My fear is about confrontation. Who likes confrontation? Well, some people might like confrontation. I never, ever liked confrontation. I remember the first time when I was a kid having to, I had to confront my childhood bully friend. Yeah, there's an oxymoron in there, but he was a bully and he saw me as a friend. I just didn't see him that way, but I had to confront him because he wouldn't stop leaving me alone. He was pushing me. He was lightly slapping me in the face. And I said, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And I finally got upset and I finally reached my threshold and I finally just punched him. I don't know. I think I was 8 or 7 or some young age. And he fell down on the ground holding his mouth. And I just sat back down as if I knew that was the right thing to do because he wouldn't stop. And I warned him. I gave him warnings, but he wouldn't stop. So I punched him. And I don't remember exactly the sequence of events that happened next, but I do remember him leaving. He left and he went home. And then, you know, just to kind of close the loop on that story, he came back the next day and said, hey, you know, My mom wants to take us out to Chinese food. Will you come with us? Which I thought was a nice gesture. He didn't really talk about the punch. He didn't say anything about it. I think he just understood that he crossed the line and then it was over. It was done. We were now on talking terms again. So our bully friendship went forward and we kept hanging out until I eventually moved. But the point is, I did that knowing there could be consequences, even though there was a fight or flight mechanism kicking in at that point because he wouldn't stop leaving me alone and I reached my breaking point. And that's what sometimes has to happen. Sometimes you have to reach a breaking point to become assertive with someone. And some people might call that aggressive. I do. I do. When you have to do something physically like that, it is aggressive. And, you know, as a kid, I didn't know any better. I didn't even know how to punch. So I don't even know how that came out of me. But I did what I had to do, or I believed I had to do, to protect myself, to honor myself. And I'm not endorsing violence here. I'm just saying you might have to reach a breaking point to honor yourself. And I've learned over the years that you shouldn't have to reach a breaking point to honor yourself. Because the breaking point makes things worse. The breaking point makes things complicated. I don't like complication. I would rather take care of things and honor myself and assert myself if I need to before it gets complicated. But it's sort of like predicting the future. I know if I don't deal with this now, it's going to get complicated. It's going to get worse. It might even get sickeningly toxic. It could get that bad because, let's just say, you never deal with the conflict in your life that you want to stop. If you never deal with it, it stays a conflict and you continue resisting it. And resistance comes in the form of those feelings that you get. Oh, I hate this. Oh, why doesn't that person stop? And it comes in the form of the actions and the decisions that you take and make. And so what ends up happening is that you don't experience life to the fullest because you are holding back. Because you want to avoid certain things in your life. You want to avoid what you're resisting. You're carrying that resistance around. So you want to avoid it. Like the conversation that you don't want to have with that person. Because when you have it, you know it's going to be complicated. You know it's going to be scary. Because there might be some consequence for the confrontation. And if you've spent your life avoiding confrontation because you don't want to deal with the consequence eventually comes anyway, either in the form of how you feel inside, not being able to reach your full potential, your full happiness, or your full satisfaction in life. It could come in that way, where you don't feel fulfilled in certain ways, or you don't feel strong or confident in yourself in certain ways. That's a consequence. Or it blows up in your face and does become more complicated because you've reached your threshold, you reach your breaking point, and you explode. That's it, I've had enough. I've had enough, shut up, leave me alone. And how productive is that? It can be productive. I'm not saying that you should never do that because sometimes you have to do that with some people. And again, I'm not endorsing violence or physical aggression because sometimes the breaking point is required. Sometimes you've been nice and you've been nice and you've been nice. And I love the line that Patrick Swayze said in Roadhouse, there's a time to not be nice. I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but that movie Roadhouse, he said, be nice until it's time to not be nice. Because you're just doing your best to be, I don't know, accommodating, be kind, be respectful. And some people just don't get it. Some people will not hear it. They won't accept it. And they want what they want regardless of what you want. And they will be difficult. And they will make things more complicated if you don't uncomplicate them by expressing yourself and honoring yourself, standing up for yourself, which is what this person's asking. Well, I feel sick. I feel bad when I do that. I don't want to feel this way. They even said, I should celebrate when I do well, right? Yes, you should, but you can't because you have some old stuff still lingering in there. You have some old beliefs or patterns of behavior or patterns of thought that are still hanging around that aren't serving you. So my goal today, and I don't know if I'm going to achieve this goal, but my goal is to help you change those patterns. And when you change those patterns, hopefully asserting yourself and standing up for yourself doesn't make you sick. It makes you feel good, even though there might still be fear. Even though you might still have a little bit of that negative feeling in your tummy or your chest or whatever. Those feelings don't necessarily always go away 100%. Even the strongest people can get nervous. Even like the most popular speakers on stage, they can still get nervous before they go on stage, even though they've done it hundreds of times. So we have to remember that some of that anxiety, some of that fear, some of that resistance, it comes up even when we're doing the best, right, healthiest thing for ourselves. So that's sort of a normal thing. And some people have learned to get rid of it. Some people don't feel it anymore, and some people do. I think I'll always feel a little bit nervous when confronting somebody that I know will create some sort of conflict. So whenever you approach somebody and you tell them something that they may not necessarily be happy to hear or agree with you on, it's going to feel like a confrontation. But here is where I switch my thinking, I change my philosophy, and put my energy toward thinking in a new way, thinking in a new direction. And this is what has helped me, which is something I said before, honoring yourself while showing love to the other person. And what that means for me is that I know I have to take care of me. I know that I have to make the right decisions for me. And I can do that while being respectful to another person. But at the same time, I have to remember that this is for me, not against them. Honoring yourself is for you, not against them. And when you do something that's for you, you are not being aggressive. You are being self-compassionate. It's showing yourself compassion. It's telling yourself that you deserve this and it's okay. It's like telling a kid, you know, you want to tell a child, hey, it's okay. You deserve a good grade because you worked hard for it. Yes, sometimes it's self-parenting. You have to self-parent yourself and say, I deserve this. It's the right thing to do. It is something that I need to do for me because it shows me, it shows myself, that I care about myself, and it's going to set me up for a less complicated future. I'm uncomplicating my future. That's one way I look at that. Well, there's two ways right now. I honor myself with love for someone else, meaning I respect them. I'm still kind to them. I'm not mean to them. I'm just saying or telling somebody my needs. And I'm also remembering that if I don't do this, my future will get complicated. So I'm uncomplicating my future. My future could get complicated because things could progress in a bad way. They could get worse. And I don't want them to get worse for either of us. I could get more upset at that person. They could get upset with me or not get upset and just continue doing what they're doing, making me more upset at them, causing more conflict and stress and tension between us. And so those two things, honoring myself with love for them and uncomplicating my future, are most important. And then third thing is to remember that I'm doing this for me, not against them. That is so important. You have to remember that you're doing these things for you. And that can be helpful. Now, I know this probably doesn't alleviate the fear. And this person wrote, they feel guilty after they've been assertive. They feel like they want to retreat. And so my question to you on that is, why do you feel guilty? What exactly do you feel guilty about? Do you feel like you've wronged them in some way? Now, this is old stuff. The guilt is old stuff. And I want you to remember the very first time you felt guilty for standing up for yourself, or maybe you were made to feel guilty for asking for what you want, or wanting something but not asking for it, or whatever that situation was when you were younger. Because I'm pretty sure that what you're going to say is that you used to feel guilty a lot about whatever in your life, whatever was happening. And who instilled that guilt in you? And do you still feel that guilt for the same reason that you did? For me, I never felt guilt when I avoided confrontation. I just felt afraid. I was afraid of the consequences. So when I did my own healing around that, what was my fear about? You know, that was the question I asked myself. What was my fear of the consequences about? What consequences? What was I afraid of happening? Well, they might yell at me. They might break up with me. They might fire me. They might hurt me. They might physically hurt me. Well, where did that come from? Isn't that ingrained, Paul? You know, that's what I would ask myself. Wasn't that what everybody would feel? Probably not. Some people don't fear the confrontations or the consequences. Some people just stand up for themselves and speak up. Maybe because they were brought up that way. Somebody modeled that behavior and that was their role model. And so they were able to stand up for themselves. But some people are afraid. Like my mom. She was afraid to stand up for herself, especially against my drunk stepfather. He was abusive. He was scary. So where did I learn the fear of confrontation? Of course, I learned it from her. Now, I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying she was my model. She was the one I learned how to behave around certain people. Almost everyone, actually, because when I remember my childhood, cowering in my bedroom, hoping my stepfather never climbed those stairs to come into my room, that was very impactful in my life. And I had to do a lot of healing around that, which I've done. But what ends up happening is that we carry these old fears, these old traumas, these old trauma responses, these old coping mechanisms that we created when we were younger into our adult life. And we think they still apply. We think that we need to do those old behaviors because we think that the situation hasn't changed. But it has. What happened to you when you were younger has changed because now you're an adult. Now, this person went through an abusive relationship when they were an adult, and that kept their child mechanisms alive, that those coping mechanisms, those trauma responses, because they went through trauma when they were younger, I'm assuming. It could be the wrong assumption, but I'm going to assume there was some sort of trauma or neglect or something that caused them to create a coping mechanism to hide, to retreat, to make sure that they never are confrontational and never stand up for themselves because there are consequences if you do that. What were those consequences back then? And do they apply today? This doesn't take away the fear. This doesn't take away the feelings that you might get, but it does help you understand where they come from, and you can start to transform things inside your mind so that when you do assert yourself, which is a healthy, very self-compassionate thing to do, when you do assert yourself, because you are honoring yourself, and showing yourself that you are worthy of standing up for yourself and making decisions that are empowering and right for you, the more you do that, the more you reinforce that you are worthy and you are worth standing up for. And also, because you are thinking in terms of you're no longer a child with the same issues that you had in childhood, you are starting to create new ways to cope with the challenges that you are facing in your life. And the challenge is your own fear. The challenge is, what's going to happen if I say this? What's going to happen if I do this? And again, because you got into an abusive relationship, any childhood fears that you had, they stayed with you in that abusive relationship because you didn't want to get abused. You didn't want to get hurt. So you held on to these old beliefs, these old thought patterns, and they were real. They were very real to you because you never felt good enough or worthy enough or confident enough or strong enough in yourself to allow the adult to create new patterns of thought and new coping mechanisms. And I'm not putting you down for that or anything, because this is the start of the journey. This is what you're doing right now. You're starting this journey of wanting to assert yourself and you want to honor yourself, but you're stuck because as soon as you do it, you feel bad. And that's what needs to be explored, I believe. You just need to ask yourself, okay, why do I feel bad about doing this? And ask yourself, what am I afraid of happening? Another question is, what am I afraid of losing? Because what usually happens is we have a fear or we feel guilt because we feel like we might lose something. And you might say, well, I feel guilty because I don't want to make that person not like me. And now I feel guilty because I said something that makes them not like me. And the question still applies, well, what do you fear losing? Then you might say, well, I fear losing them as a friend, as a family member, as a partner. I fear losing that. And if that's your answer, then the question is, well, why do you fear losing that? Because if that person needed to be told something that you want them to stop doing or something that you feel like you need to tell them, then I've said this many times, someone who loves you, who wants you to be happy, will honor that. Someone who loves you and supports you will honor you honoring yourself. Unfortunately, what ends up happening is that when you honor yourself, you weed out the people who don't want you honoring yourself. When you love yourself, you weed out the people who don't want you to love yourself and can't support you in the way that is most healthy for you. There's some words I want to say here, but I don't want to put other people down too badly. But really, what it comes down to is when you love yourself and you show yourself compassion, meaning you're standing up for yourself, you're honoring yourself, you're asserting yourself, what you're doing is saying, this is the way I want to be treated. You're telling the person, you're giving them that gift. This is the way I would like to be treated. Please do this for me. Someone who loves you is going to be like, of course. I love you. I want you to feel good. I want you to honor yourself. I want you to be happy. And anything I can do to help you feel happy would be an honor for me because I love you. Someone who loves you wants you to love yourself. Someone who loves you wants you to feel happiness. This is what happens, though, when you honor yourself and assert yourself. The people that want to control you, they don't want you to feel happiness, or they want to change you into the version that they want you to be, meaning manipulate. The people who want to manipulate you, the people who really aren't interested in your happiness and only want you to show up in a way that serves them, they'll get weeded out. Because as soon as you assert yourself with somebody like that, you get to find out who they are. And if you're feeling guilty because these people are revealing who they are and not honoring you, honoring yourself, and not loving you, showing you that they want you to be happy, and they start disappearing from your life, that guilt, even though I can't just tell you stop feeling guilty, I can tell you that you're doing yourself a favor. It sounds cold. It sounds cold when I say that, because these people, you might care about them, you might want them in your life, but if they are not supporting you, supporting yourself, if they are not honoring you, honoring yourself, then what are they doing there? Are they there just to be self-serving for themselves? Are they there to change you into the version that they want of you? And if they are, then yeah, I will say, well, you don't have to feel guilty because they have some selfish thing going on, and they want you to change for them. Again, I can't just say don't feel guilty, but I can tell you how to start thinking about these things differently. I mean, I can say don't feel guilty, but If you can do that, that's great. If you can just listen to me and apply that, perfect. But we all know how that works. Don't feel guilty. It doesn't work unless you have thought about these things and healed from certain old stuff that you're carrying around, old thought patterns, old behaviors, old coping mechanisms. But the way you think about how you are serving yourself in a healthy way and how some people will not like it helps you remember who's supporting you and who's not and who is worth having in your life. And again, that sounds kind of scary, because what will end up happening is as you honor it yourself, those who don't want that for you might take a step back, might step out of your life, or might reconsider how they treat you and how they feel about you. And yes, that might mean you filter some people out of your life. And if that's scary, or if that makes you feel guilty, then it's important to ask yourself what you value in your relationships. What do you value in a friendship? What do you value in a family member? You know, what do you value in people that are important to you? Do you value that they want you to be someone that you're not? You probably don't. You probably value respect and kindness. You probably value laughing. You probably value honesty and transparency and vulnerability. You probably value a lot of good stuff, in my opinion. These are all good things. But do you value someone who gives you that dirty look when you want to do something good for yourself? Because if you don't, and you do something good for yourself, and they give you that dirty look, which gives you that bad feeling, remember, some people will not be happy about the path you choose to happiness. Some people will not be happy about the decisions that you make that are right for you, because those decisions aren't in alignment with what they want for you. And that just means they want you to be someone that you're not ready to be, or you don't want to be, or maybe someday you will be, or maybe someday you won't be, but it's still your choice. You have the right to decide. It is one of the most basic fundamental human rights that you can choose what to do in your life. That is your will, your mind, and you can choose it. Then if you want to paint your car pink and purple, that's your choice. You make that choice. And if somebody says, well, doing that, people are going to look down on you and you're just going to look like an idiot, but that's something you really want to do, you may not satisfy them, but you're taking a path that you want to take. Because it's not just about needs, it's also about wants. If you want something, you are worthy of wanting it. You are worthy of having it because you want it. And not everyone is going to be happy with the things that you want. And so I really question, like, when you say you feel guilty, I want you to ask yourself, what was their reaction to your assertion? What was their reaction to your assertion? Because if they reacted negatively, why? Why did they react negatively? Don't they want you to want what you want and get what you need and make decisions for yourself? Or are they there to control you in some way? Now, I didn't address the idea that you are trying to come off as assertive and not aggressive. So this is a different area, right? How we come off can be seen as aggressive. But this is coming back to the philosophy about being assertive, which is being comfortable in who you are and knowing that you deserve this and you are worth it. Like when I have to confront somebody, I am comfortable in myself to say, I know I deserve this. I know that I'm doing the right thing for me or someone I love. Like I had to confront, this is a crazy story, I told it once. I was at the pool. My girlfriend, or my now fiance, and I were living at an apartment building a long time ago now. So we were at the pool, and this guy was, I don't know, he started yelling at some kids. He yelled across the pool at these two little kids that were looking at, the net for the pool. And he yelled at them. He said, "That's safety equipment. Get away from there." And it was so loud. It was unnecessary. And the guy wasn't even the kid's father, and the father's on the other side of the pool. And Asha and I are watching, like, what the hell is going on? This guy just yelled for no reason. And so the father gets up and says, you have no right to yell at my kids. You shut your mouth. And I saw this thing playing out. I saw, oh my God, this is going to be a fight. And here I am. I'm the only other guy at the pool, except for the family of the guy that was yelling. And I thought, am I going to have to get up and stop a fight? Am I going to have to get involved with this? I don't want to get involved with this. And I realized I have to do the right thing. Regardless of the consequences, I have to do it. Even though I could get into some sort of trouble or some sort of altercation. But I have to do it. It doesn't matter about the consequence. So I stood up and I walked over to the guy who was yelling. And the other guy's yelling at him now. And I just talked to the guy very calmly. I said, hey, look, we don't want to do this. We don't want to cause a fight and the whole thing gets crazy and the police get involved. Let's just, you know, take a step back. And the guy actually said, yeah, you're right. You're right. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just whatever. I'm on my pills or I'm not on my pills. Whatever he said. He calmed right down. It was great. But the father, father was so angry and he was starting to walk over. Now I have somebody else to deal with that I don't want starting some big thing. And the father had every right to be angry. Absolutely. I was on the father's side, but I was trying to prevent a huge altercation or what could have been a huge altercation. And so I looked at the father and I said, you know, he's done. You know, he's not going to do it anymore. Let's just take a step back. And he said he's sorry and he doesn't want this to get any further. And the father was just not hearing. He was just so irritated, so angry. And I totally get it. Again, I'm on the father's side here. But I was able to calm things down. I was able to use my diplomacy skills, which I've practiced since I was six, because I talked myself out of many fights. And I did that, and everything calmed down. The guy who yelled, he went back to his family. And then the guy who was angry, the father, he just sat back down. He was not happy, but at least he calmed down too. There will be no fight. And then I went back to sit down, and I realized, okay, that's good. We calmed down, and I had those feelings in my stomach that this person wrote about. And I didn't feel guilty because I knew it was the right thing. And that's part of my point. This was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. I had to do it. I did not want the kids to see a fight or the kids to get hurt or whatever. I just wanted the peace. I'm always the peacekeeper, looking for the peace. So I made the peace. And then I sit down, and I don't even know if this is part of my point, but as I sit down, Asha, she gets up and she goes over to the guy who yelled and she said something. And I said, oh my God, now she's going to start this fight. No. So I had to get up again. And she was really angry. Again, she has every right to be, but I'm the peacekeeper. I want to keep the peace. I had to talk to him and I had to talk to her. I said, you know, things are calming down. Let's just leave them there. And he stayed calm. Believe it or not, he stayed calm the whole time, even when she was yelling at him and pointing her finger at him. You have no right to say that. Those aren't your kids. And what are you doing here anyway? Whatever she said. And so that calmed down too. And then we had peace. And then security from the apartment complex came in and all kinds of fun stuff that evening. But everything calmed down, no fights, and all was well. What's my point? So my point is that I felt so good knowing it was the right thing that it didn't matter too much about the consequences. It didn't matter that I had to confront because my focus was on this is what I need to do. I need to do this. That was my focus. That was my thought process. This isn't a choice. This is what I need to do. This is the right thing to do. And saying that to myself is what got me through it, even though I felt those bad feelings, but I felt confident knowing it was the right path to take. And instead of worrying and focusing on all the consequences and all the bad stuff that could come from it, I focused on what needed to be done and what I had to do for the people that I cared about. I didn't even know the kids, but I cared about them a lot more than that guy yelling. And that care overrode my fear. That love overrode my fear. And I can't tell you that this is a solution. I can't tell you that when you do this, you'll not feel anything terrible or guilt or anxiety. I'm not here to say that. I'm here to help you start thinking differently, changing the direction of your thoughts so that they're not focused on the aftermath, but they're focused on what you need to do. This is what I need to do because I am worthy of it. And my feeling is that you may not have that thought that you're worthy of it. And maybe you do. But the thing is, we carry the feelings of not feeling worthy with us, and they can be deeply ingrained. So logically, rationally, you can say, of course I'm worthy of this. I'm going to make this decision, even though it scares the hell out of me. And that fear is inside. If that fear is inside and you actually feel guilt, then someone instilled that inside you a long time ago. Somewhere in the past, you were made to believe that you aren't worthy of standing up for yourself, of getting what you want, getting what you need, of making decisions that are right for you. Someone instilled that in you, and it's important to understand who that was, when it started, and when you're going to let that go. And again, that's not saying, hey, just let it go, turn it off. I'm not saying that at all, because it's not easy to do, but I'm helping you turn the ship around and start changing the direction so you can start thinking differently, that it's not about asserting yourself, it's about honoring yourself. And it's not about the difference between aggression and assertion, it's about what do I need to do for me? It's that question, what do I need to do for me or the people I love? What do I need to do? What is the right thing to do? And keeping your focus on that. And that can start to turn the ship around, the ship of fear. Like the ship is heading towards fear all the time. So we need to turn that and start it heading towards worth, you know, self-worth, self-love, self-compassion, knowing you deserve what you're standing up for or saying. You deserve to ask for what you want or to tell somebody to stop doing something. You are worthy of it. Now, to address the aggressiveness versus the assertiveness, let's just say that you really are aggressive. You know, get out of my face. Instead of saying, hey, would you please move? You say, get out of my face. And that can seem aggressive. It probably is. What I like to do when that happens is, you know, I look at that as an emotional trigger. I'm being triggered. I need to address my emotional triggers. And in order to address my emotional triggers, I have to ask myself questions. I call them drill down questions. I also wrote an article at theoverwhelmedbrain.com called Stupid Questions That Lead to Healing that will help you drill down into your emotional triggers to figure out why you're getting triggered. So if the aggression is, get out of my face, what are you feeling in that moment? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling scared? Are you feeling invaded? You know, your personal space? And when you're able to dive into those feelings, you can learn to assert yourself without going into fight or flight mode, because aggression is usually a fight or flight response. Aggression is, I'm going to fight you, and this is how I'm protecting myself. It does take practice to protect yourself without aggression if you've not practiced it. And this is what I was saying right near the beginning, is that I started practicing honoring my boundaries in small ways. And you do that in non-aggressive situations, non-volatile situations, where you just express what you want. You express how you feel. You express your opinion. What restaurant would you like to go to today? How about Chinese? And you say, I'm not really in the mood for Chinese. Whereas your former people pleaser would say, I don't care. Anything you want, I'm happy with. So, something simple like that, something non-volatile, where you can actually express yourself and get feedback. When I started honoring myself, it was so scary because I didn't have any feedback. I just assumed people would get angry or people wouldn't like me or they'd break up with me or fire me or whatever. I just assumed all that. And so I kept that assumption with me. So I had to test my assumptions. And I did that by honoring myself, by speaking up in ways that were, or in situations that were non-volatile. What movie do you want to go to? I would express the movie I'd like to go to. If they said, well, I don't want to go to that movie, then I might compromise, which is fine. I mean, that's what you do. You compromise when you want to give a little bit and everyone gets along. But there are times where you can honor yourself and practice not people-pleasing. That's what I had to do. I had to practice not people-pleasing. And then you up the game. You move to a new level of honoring yourself. When you know there might be conflict or consequences or confrontation, when you know there is a might be a negative result because of your assumption of what might happen, you honor yourself and you test it and you get your feedback. And you take that feedback with you. And some people, you're going to get feedback that says, whoa, never cross that person again. I'll write that in my little notes in my brain. And some people are going to, like I said earlier, show you that they care about you and they want you to be happy. And so they're going to honor you honoring yourself. And they will be a part of your new system of honoring yourself, your new experiment where you're learning, you're getting feedback, you're understanding how people respond to you. And the more you do this, the more you honor yourself, the more comfortable you get asserting yourself. And the more comfortable you get asserting yourself, the less likely you'll be emotionally triggered because you will live that way naturally. You will feel natural asserting yourself and honoring yourself. And pretty soon it doesn't become about asserting or aggressing. It becomes about just saying what's on your mind. Hey, I don't like that. I don't want anything to do with that. Hey, I'm happy to do that with you. That's great. It just becomes more, I don't want to say stoic, but it just becomes natural. So the more you practice honoring yourself in non-volatile situations, the more natural it becomes. And the feedback you get reinforces that it's safe to do that. And the more safe you feel honoring yourself, the less you'll feel the need to be aggressive, if that makes sense. I hope I covered every single aspect of this. I know I didn't. There's probably questions you still have, but that's what the Facebook group is for. We can talk about it in there. If you're interested in going to the Facebook group and joining, it's a free group, but it's also closed, so nobody outside can see in. Go to the Overwhelmed Brain Empowerment group, and I'll let you in. I let people in every few days. Good to talk with you today. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you to the person who wrote that. I hope this helps in some way improve your life. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our patrons of the week. They are Christy, Leela, Anna, Sandra, Adriana, Holly, Deborah, Tammy. I am grateful for all of you. They are the financial backers of the show, and they wanted to give back, and I appreciate everyone that does that. Very grateful. And if you find value in this show like these patrons have, head over to moretob.com, and there are options to support the show. Thank you again, patrons. I appreciate all of you. And I have another show, another podcast called Love and Abuse. You heard it at the very beginning. That show is about navigating the difficult relationship. So if you're in a difficult relationship and have trouble with confrontations, that might be helpful over at loveandabuse.com. And if you know you're the difficult one in the relationship, I have a program called Healed Being over at healedbeing.com. And that is for the emotionally abusive person that wants to change. Yes, they are out there. There are those that do want to change that behavior, because they realize they keep messing up in their relationship and they don't want to do that anymore. So there's a lot to learn over there at healedbeing.com if that's for you. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And for my final thoughts, I'm going to read you something from that message that person wrote in the last segment. They said, when I stick up for myself, it's like fight or flight sometimes. And I mentioned fight or flight before, but the words stick up for myself. Stick up for myself. That means that there's more energy behind it, right? When you stick up for yourself, that means somebody's putting you down or making you do something or trying to make you do something that they want you to do, and you're just trying to stop that from happening. So you feel like you have to stick up for yourself. That's another sort of attitude and thought process that can happen inside of us. And we can feel more aggressive. It can feel like fight or flight. And this is when that person wrote, I have trouble being assertive without being aggressive. Because they're sticking up for them. So what in the world is happening where you feel like you have to stick up for yourself? And that is something that if you are around people that want you to do something or don't want you to do something, and they're not honoring your choice, you have to remember that they probably aren't capable of supporting you where you are. And if that's the case, then the choice to have them in your life has to come with the acceptance that that's who they are. That might sound a little weird, but it's true. If you have people in your life that can't honor you where you are and honor the choices that you make for yourself, even if they disagree with them, because that's my definition of love, when you honor somebody's path to happiness, even if you disagree with the path that they're on, you are supporting them, you are loving them that way. If they can't love you that way, if they can't support you that way, and they don't want you to be that person or make those decisions, then you have to accept that's who they are. And they will always disagree with you, or they will always be an obstacle in your path. That's like step one. Accept that's who they are. The good news is when you accept who they are, you don't have to resist. That's who they are. If you resist, it makes it worse. It makes it complicated. It will make it complicated for you and them. But if you accept, yeah, that's who they are. I know they're going to disagree with me. I know they're going to give me a fight. They're going to fight back. They're going to argue. So because of that, I'm going to accept that's who they are, and they can't help it. Some people will say, yes, they can help it. Of course, a lot of people can help it. Some people don't know how to help it. Some people don't know that they're doing wrong. So to say they can't help it helps relieve you of trying to fight it. And that's just it. Why fight something you can't win? Now, I can apply this to family. Like mom or dad says, you can't do that. You can't get that job. You can't marry that person. Mom or dad or whoever says something that you're doing wrong. You're doing this wrong and you never get it right, or you don't make enough money or whatever. They're putting you down for all the failures in your life they see as failures. And you're just trying to get along, doing your thing, and you're probably happy in many areas of your life, but maybe you feel guilty because they're putting you down. So how do you thwart that? Well, I've had episodes on that, and I've said many strange things about how to respond. Like, well, I'm sorry you don't like it, but you made me. If it's mom or dad, I'm sorry that I disappoint you, but it must be disappointing to know that you made me and I'm making these decisions, so it's kind of your fault. I'm being totally sarcastic. But it is something that I would say, honestly. Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you. It must be hard for you to have created such a disappointment. Again, that's not advice. I'm not telling you to say that. I would. But that's me. And I can get away with it, maybe. Maybe you can get away with it. I don't know. But I can get away with it because I know what they're thinking about me is untrue. You shouldn't do that. Why not? Well, it's wrong and you're going to fail. Well, then watch me fail. And then I'll succeed. And if I do fail, I'll say, well, looks like you were right. I failed. But I'm going to try this now. And then they might say, well, see, I told you. Yeah, I know, but I tried it anyway. So what? Well, rah, rah, rah. Whatever they say. But there are grumpy people in our lives. Yes, there can be. There can be grumpy family members. There can be people that have failed in their life and don't want you to fail. So they push their dysfunctional thoughts about that onto you, their toxic feelings about their own life onto you, that projecting maybe or whatever. And then there are people that are perfect and nothing bad ever happened to them, so they know how to tell you what to do. They know how to make you live your life so that you never experience any challenges and you're just going to follow the same path that they follow or the path that they lay out, and you'll never be able to satisfy them unless you follow the exact path. So what do you do with people like that? You accept that's who they are. And then one of the more productive pieces of advice I might give you is to say, thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate your input. That's it. You don't even have to assert or aggress anything. You just say, thank you so much. You have a lot of wisdom. Thank you for sharing that. Or just say, thank you for sharing that. You don't have to tell them they have wisdom, but I don't know. I like to butter them up sometimes. Wow, that's very smart. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'll consider it. And then they might say, well, you better do it, because if you don't, you're going to fail. I guess I'll learn then. I mean, what I'm doing is replying, knowing that failure is an option and being okay with it. Failure is an option. That's fine. I could fail. You're right. I could totally fail. Well, don't come to me after you fail. Okay, I won't. Thank you for telling me that. I definitely won't. I appreciate that. It doesn't have to turn into a fight. It doesn't have to turn into an aggressive argument. It can just be a thank you so much. Thank you for your input. Thank you for your feedback. I appreciate that. Because you have life experience that I may not have. And so I'm very grateful that I can add your experience to my collection of experiences from my, you know, my own life and from other people's lives, and I can make wise decisions based on your input, my own thoughts and feelings, and other people's input. So it's so valuable that you're doing this for me. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, you better do it or you're going to fail. Yeah, I know, you're right. So thank you for sharing that. It's definitely something I want to consider. I appreciate that. So what I'm doing there is I'm not necessarily standing up for myself, even though I am. I'm just doing it very subtly. I'm not being aggressive. I'm not being assertive. I'm being very passive and permissive. I'm being kind and respectful to them, and I'm letting them know that I'm considering what they're saying, and I'm not being confrontational. I'm just taking all the negative energy out. Even though they might not want me to do that, I'm still putting it in a place that I will be most comfortable with, and I'll deal with whatever information they give me. And who knows, they might have a tidbit of advice. They might have a gold nugget. I can take that if I want or not. Or they could be total jerks and don't really care about my happiness. They just want me to be who they want me to be, and it doesn't matter what I want to be. But I'm going to let them know that I'm grateful for what they said, even though I might not be. So yeah, it's a little tidbit of a lie. And I'm going to thank them, even though I don't really want to thank them because they're being jerks or whatever. But what it does is help squash all the negativity and doesn't turn into something that has to be a fight or flight thing. It just takes that energy out. So maybe that'll help, maybe not. It certainly helps me. Because when somebody is so demanding, well, you got to do it this way. Well, thanks so much for sharing that with me. I appreciate that. I will definitely consider all my options. Well, I can just see their face now. I can hear their voice. Well, you better do it or else. And I'll say, thank you so much. I mean, that is really good to know. Thank you. What are they going to say? You've taken it. You're not rejecting it. You're not resisting it. You've let them know it will be a consideration. If they want to control you further after that, it might be time to get aggressive. It might be time to show them, look, you need to back off a little bit. You know, you're making me uncomfortable. And if they still won't back off and they're still pushing you, then you have to ask yourself, why am I exposing myself to this kind of toxic person? Maybe I need to make some changes in my life. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's impossible. But I want you to consider all avenues. Consider all avenues, and that will help you keep an open mind. Because I want you to keep an open mind, because that's how you step into your power so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, and why I continue to say the things that I say to you every week, you are lovable, you are worth standing up for, you are worth honoring, and you are amazing.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.